verses 11 to 23. First of all, I'd like to start with a prayer. Lord, I thank you that heaven has come to earth. I thank you even more importantly that you have come, that you've come in ways we could never imagine. And I thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that you want to do today and for whatever you're doing for all the lives of the people in this church and to this church. Lord, may you be glorified in all that you do. May everything be centered on you, the author and finisher of our faith. As you say so often, Lord, I will be with you. In your word, you say that over and over again, I will be with you. Lord, let us know in all of our lives and all that we're called to do, I will be with you. What? Well, my cell phone's in my pocket, so I'm probably calling most of the universe, whatever it is. All right. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us from the hands of the Midianites." And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in might, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you, and you bring out my offering, and I set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and an unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." We see in Gideon and in his story, really the things that are happening or are about to happen to a lot of people on this earth. We're seeing the supernatural revealed in a way that we could never begin to expect it to be revealed. We see the things Gideon went through. He saw himself as humble, not able to do it. Most of us are like that. And as I said in the phrase of that prayer, what does God say to a lot of people in Scripture? "I will be with you." And that's the whole thing about "I will be with you," because what you're about to face, what you're about to experience, what's about to happen to you may absolutely, well, spiritually, just you lose your strength. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what to do. And what happened to Gideon is about what is about to happen to us. Look at Moses. Moses, again, was a person who, all of a sudden, what does he come face to face with? A bush that's burning on a mountain. That's his first experience with God. The bush burning on the mountain. Can you imagine what that did to him for the beginning of his ministry, wondering where he was going, yet God took him and used him powerfully, as he took Gideon and used him powerfully by an angel of the Lord coming. But he wasn't sure it was an angel. Could have been God. Realized later it was an angel. God used a different means to reveal himself and to start out his ministry. Look at Jonah. Look at Jonah. God used a whale to make Jonah do his ministry. With all this, we don't know how God is going to move. We're in a time when literally we're seeing heaven come with ways that we read in God's own word. And some of us are going to experience those ways. And it's important to understand that in what I'm trying to bring before today. When I went to Brazil, I didn't want to go. I told God I'm tripped out. I've had too many trips. I really don't want to go. And he said, but I want you to go. So with me, it's obedience. It's obedience. You go. But before I went, a prophet prayed over me and said to me, you're going to meet a person, and the person will be a human being, but it'll be an angel. And they're going to impart something into you. And I went 4 days before I went, because I thought, well, you know, God's going to do something. Because last year when Christine and I went, he told us ministry would open up, go 3 days ahead of time, you're going to meet somebody, and it happened. And we're still in contact with him. And it's going to involve future ministry. So we went on this trip, and I went with a friend, Roger, Becky and Sue know who Roger is, and we went there 4 days. Now the Lord said, be sure of one thing, understand. You can meet somebody and not know you met them. It's not always going to be an experience. Sometimes you have to look back to see where it's at. Well, for 4 days, I didn't look back and see what happened there. Enjoyed the Churrascarias. The Churrascarias. We found out that Porto Alegre had the best Churrascarias in all of Brazil. We found that out from Randy's people when we came back. So we hit 3 Churrascarias in 4 days. And prayed a lot around the city and had experiences with God, and it was a trip where the warfare was the greatest warfare of my life. I mean, it just was one attack after another attack. And it didn't stop there, but God was moving in such power, with such power in what he was doing. I went through the trip, all the way through it, and we came to the last church we were at. And we were with 2 other people besides Randy. There was a man by the name of Blaine Cook. That was, to have that man pray over me, and I'll tell you a little bit about him, really changed my life. I've never felt an impartation going to me like he did. And Randy said, he's the best at it. He's better than Randy, way beyond. And little did I know, I found out from Randy later, that not only did Blaine Cook play over Randy for his impartation, he played over John Wimber. Blaine Cook was a person who came into Wimber's church, hardly anybody, but he got a gift quick, and before Wimber shot out, Randy said Blaine Cook shot Wimber out. And when he prayed over me, he prayed over me twice. He came to find me once, and then there was the impartations, and it was just incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. And the whole thing was that you never know where you're going to meet somebody. And God said to me, okay, you've had prayer from Randy Clark, you've had prayer from Blaine Cook, but did you ever think that the head of this church you're in, this pastor, could have a bigger impartation to give you than they could? And so I just thought, well, I have a chance to have him pray for me, I would. And one day I'm just out there, and he's there with somebody else, and I go up and pray. And it was just, I didn't think anything of it. I came back. It was like a CD going into a CD player. like something just went into me. I didn't think anything of it, didn't really experience anything. As you would do when you travel with Randy, you see a lot of miracles. You see, you pray with people and see miracles. You go out and do ministry in the morning into ministries that the church has and pray for people and you see miracles. It's a common thing that you see. But I went through that trip. The extraordinary thing for me that God began to manifest right away was relationships. I mean, incredibly. I mean, I've never been on a trip where people wanted to come to me and tell me how good I was and how they were happy to have me there. I mean, compliments just off the board. And I'm stopping, really. I mean, I'm not trying to be self-deprecating, but I just stopped and I said, do they know who they're talking to? I mean, really, I did. And I didn't realize till I got back that it all had to do with a gift that God had given on the spot. And had to do with a gift of blessing and being a blessing to somebody else. I didn't know that till the prophet told me when I came back, but now I'm seeing it. And when I came back, my stomach was heavy for days. And the Lord said, you've got to go see Pastor Steve. So I went and saw Pastor Steve, and I prayed with him, and he felt what I had going to him. And he said, you've got to do this for the people. And that's one of the reasons I'm up here today. But, you know, God could do this with Ren 10:10. He could do it with anybody in his church. But this is a fulfillment of what was said to me years ago by Randy Clark, three different trips. He said, you're going to be one of the main players in the revival that's coming upon this earth. And he prayed it over me three different trips. And I let it just go by. This is really hard to do. I mean, this is really hard to do. I told Steve this was not going to be easy. And so I came back from Brazil, and the same prophet calls me a day later, and I said, well, I don't know that I ran into the person. The prophet described that person verbatim who prayed over me, and it was the pastor. And I stopped and asked myself, was it a pastor or was it an angelic copy? After all, with Gideon. And I believe it was. I believe it was. And, I mean, I'm different. I'm so different, I don't know if my wife can live with me. We're praying yesterday, Wednesday in this church. You know, all day prayer. And I read the scripture on Solomon and turning the house, you know, and wanting to be Solomon, and Steve knows about this. And I'm walking in the back of the church. And you guys know, some of you know I have experiences with angels, or maybe you just think I'm crazy. Take your pick. But I'm walking past the middle of the aisle, and I literally run into a wall. And I've had a lot of experiences with angels, but nothing like this. And this angel stops and talks in my spirit and says, I want to walk inside of you. And I stopped and I said, why? He says, I want to talk to your pastor. I said, well, you don't need me to do that. Go on up and give him a message. And he said, no. So he literally comes in me. And I'm walking up and I'm just bopping everywhere. And I go up and sit next to Steve and I said, do you feel what's on me? He said, no. But then all of a sudden he feels it. So then I prayed it into him, the word. Little I know later, Becky's telling me she's feeling heat coming off me. She's two seats down from me. She can hardly sit in the seat. What I'm saying is that we're all coming to a time when we're moving into our destinies of our lives being fulfilled, but not in ways we expect, and not in ways that may be comfortable for us to be in our skin when they happen. And there's many of you here who can look and say, well, that may be you, but not me, and you're crazy, and that's not going to happen to me, and God's up there saying, I'll take you up on that. That's where I believe that we're moving into. And God will use the least And I consider myself to be the least. I can tell you that right now. I can't handle what's happening right now. I thank God I'm at peace except when I'm up here right now. But then God said, you're going to South Carolina for Christmas. You're going to get more of what you got in Brazil. I said, well, how can that be? What's in South Carolina? We're here on church on Sunday. And my wife sees open visions a lot of times. And she looks at the stage, and Jesus is in the crib, the manger scene. Oh, God, I see this, I'm giving it away, aren't I? Oh, what the heck. All she sees is seed. And Jesus says to her, I'm the seed. It doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter what happens. If I want to give something, I'll give it wherever I want to give it. It doesn't have to be a famous place of revival like Azusa Street or things that have happened in Brazil or the Shetland Islands or Wales and things that happen. I can do it wherever I want to because I'm it. And again, I'm talking to this prophet, and the prophet says to me, you're going to meet somebody. They're going to impart into you. So I came back and I prayed for Steve again, and boom, it happened. God's got me on. God wants to do something today. He wants to do something for everybody in this whole church. He wants to plant a seed, but he doesn't want to light it yet. Though he may light it today, because who am I to tell God what to do? But he's going to do something. And it's important to understand that what God brings about and what he does is all for his glory. And it's all for him. And anything he does with you or me or anybody in this world, again, it comes back to him. We're not in this for ourselves. We've been invited in to bring souls to the kingdom. And we're all about to move into this in ways that we never can expect. And I mean, get ready to be shocked. Get ready to be uncomfortable. Get ready for your skin to crawl. Because God's into offending. That's really, because that's what I'm going through. That's what I'm going through. And I'm seeing God do so much. In Matthew 11, where am I at? I still got time. Good. In Matthew, I'll get this eventually. Matthew 13, 11 to 23. Important I read this before anything else happens. I thank Brian for the scripture. He suggested it to me. And it really fits in with what God is doing. He answered and said, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I read this. I said, Lord, where are you going to go with this? He says, look at the last phrase, the good seed on the ground. He said, I want to pray this morning that everybody has good seed so I can do what I want when you pray at the end. So I'm just trusting God right now. I'm just going to do a simple prayer. Lord, I ask you to take everybody where they are, whether they have 100, 60, or 30, however, wherever their lives are, Lord. You told me to do this, and you're sovereign, as you said. You can do whatever you want, wherever you want. So I ask you to bring everybody to that point, Lord, where they can be 100% fruitful in seed for whatever you want to do this morning. He's already moving. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. In Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a good God. And what God wants to give this morning is good. What he wants to impart is good. I've been going through days since I got back to Brazil that I felt like I'm pregnant with a child. And it comes and goes. And oh, well, I'm going to get out of that one quick. But I truly believe that many people here are about to get hit with their destinies in their lives when they're not ready. We're all waiting for it to come sometime this year. I'd look for it in the next few days if I were you. I would literally look for it in the next few days. You don't know what door you're going to walk through, what person you're going to meet, where you're going to take a trip, when is going to be the time when you least expect it. I thought I would get it on the trip. I got it when I came back from the trip. I mean, it was there, but it didn't manifest. And there's more, but it's my time. And as soon as it's going to be everybody else's here's time, get ready. Well, I'll take that back. You really can't get ready because it's going to happen in a way you don't expect. Even our pastor, who's already been blasted, is probably going to get blasted in another way he doesn't even expect. He's about to go where he hasn't gone before, which is the phrase he always uses for me because I always use it. But that's really it. The Star Trek thing is get ready, but then don't get ready because there's nothing to get ready for. Get ready to feel humiliated. Get ready to feel like, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. And God has said, good. What was that time? Who was it he said that to when he's somebody, one, a famous, no, he said it to Heidi Baker, good, I want you dead. I'm going to die, Lord, if you keep it up, good, I want, well, good, he wants you dead. Because he wants to use you. And that's really where we're headed, and it can happen to anybody here. And if you're already knowing God and having great experiences, get ready to have ones you haven't already had. In John 20, 21 to 22, this is where the Lord told me to end today, and this is all working out, Steve. You had enough messages that I didn't have to worry about content. I said, Lord, how am I going to get this done by 10 after today? Okay. 21 to 22. So Jesus said to them, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. At least I can be human. I have no idea where I'm going with this, okay? So, but I know God's going to go, and I feel him. And Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know what you've placed within me. I know there are angels all over this church. I mean, they're just all over this church waiting. Lord, I don't know what you want to do. I mean, it could be different in each individual in this place today. Lord, we could go out of here feeling nothing, but something's going in. Lord, I ask you to come. I ask you to come. I ask you to have your way. Whatever it may be that you want to do, to have your way, Lord. To have your way. That you would breathe upon these people. As you said to me, you wanted to breathe upon them. You wanted to breathe the Spirit and breathe within them, Lord, that it's time to revive your people. It's time to prepare them for what's coming. For you've told me over and over again, Lord, this is the year that revival is coming to the whole earth. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, Lord, as Daniel said in his prayer, oh, Lord, listen. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, for the sake of your people, bring forth what you want to bring forth into their lives, what they need, Lord, what they need to keep close to you, to walk with you in the midst of this world that tries, that's going one way and trying to take us with them, and we're holding on to you like the woman with the issue of blood who says, if I just hold on to his garment, I'll be healed. Well, Lord, a lot of us are just holding on to the garment. It's not easy. And I ask you to come now, Lord, in your awesome power and all that you want to do, for you know what you want to do, oh God. I ask you to come and to place within these people whatever you want to do. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, but come. Come in power. Come in your spirit. Come over this people, Lord. Let your spirit blow over them as it blowed over the Jordan River, as it blowed over the Red Sea for your people to cross. Lord, prepare the land. Prepare the land, which is your people. Prepare their spirits within them to receive what it is that you wish to impart in them this morning, Lord. What it is that you wish to impart, and may you be glorified. May you be lifted up on high. May you be exalted, Lord. By these people who love you. They come here to worship you and love you, Lord. Lord, you've got a bunch of radicals in this place. Everybody's a radical for Jesus, Lord, way beyond other places we would go to church. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do something radical today. Something they may not notice till tomorrow or a week from now, like I did, but Lord, to notice, to for your glory. Whoa. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. In the mighty name of my son, I have heard your prayer. I have heard your prayer for my people. And I have heard your prayer, and I now part the heavens over this place. I part the heavens over this place. And I have angels precision like a GPS. They know where they're going to go. They know who they're going to hit. They know what's going to be imparted. They know what they're going to take. They know what's flowing forth. I say to you now, as your living God, there is an appointed time in every life here in this body. An appointed time. But I must bring the appointed time. I must nurture it, my children. I'm preparing your hearts. I'm preparing you. And so now I pour forth what I have placed within my son. I pour within you. And know that you will go forth in a way that you have not come. I do not have to work in the spectacular. I only have to work. And I have done my work. I have done what I have desired to do. And you will praise me. You will praise me in the days to come. For you will not be the same from this moment on. I, the Lord, have said it, and I have done it.